Good morning, everybody. We're continuing on with the book of John, chapter 12. We have seen in the previous devotion that Jesus spoke about willing to lose our life here, not be part of the world, so that we can have an eternal life, and that the new life would be ours if we didn't care about the world as we know it today. And anyone who wants to hang on to this life will lose the possibility of eternal life. So it's really important we choose life, and life is found in Jesus. We also went on to see how the Lord allowed us to be blinded and our hearts to be hardened if that was the choice we made. He never imposed that upon us, but if we harden our hearts and allow ourselves to be blinded by the things of this world long enough, he gives us every opportunity to change and turn around. But I believe there's a time where he allows it to be permanently hardened, because he knows that there's no turning back. He knows all things. So we now go to verse 44, which carries on from the Pharisees, willing to expel anyone from the synagogue. And that's why so many people who believed in him wouldn't admit it, because they loved human praise or the acceptance of the Pharisees rather than they did the praise of God. And that was a very challenging verse we left on. Always check if you're fearful of man, if you want acceptance and love from man rather than want acceptance and love from God, then that can put you in a tricky position, because if we love God, we'll stand up for him. And if we're sitting on the fence, that's a dangerous place to be. It says in Revelations, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Otherwise, if you're lukewarm in the middle, sitting on the fence, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's quite a picture of God spewing you out of his mouth, because you wouldn't be hot for him. You wouldn't make that your first place and your passion. And you weren't cold either. You believed, but you didn't do anything about it. So it's very important we make that decision. We're either to the right or we're to the left. So Jesus shouted to the crowds, "If you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me." So here he is confirming that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He repeatedly states that all the way through the book of John, so there would be no mistake. "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I will not judge those who hear me, but don't obey me. I will not judge those who hear me, but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But all those who reject me," this is a new process with this recording. I'm just checking it's still going. "But all those who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to." Now he's continued to say that all the way through the book of John. Now let's break this down. That's the end of chapter 12, by the way. "If you trust me, you are not just trusting me, but also God who sent me." So once again, there's that beautiful unity. If you trust Jesus and what he's saying, then you're trusting your heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth. And when you see me, you're seeing the Father. That's basically what he's saying. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world. So he's bringing the light of salvation to the world. So for those who want to receive it, they will see it. And those who don't, they will be blinded. So that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. So if we trust the Lord, we are walking in the light. And that's what believing in him is. It's not just a belief. Many can say they believe in God, but they're not following him. They're not trusting him. And that's really what belief in this text, or all the texts where Jesus is encouraging us to believe in him, is saying, trust in me. Trust in what I'm saying is truth. Trust that the word of God, which is written now for our benefit, is truth, so that all will go well with your life, because he's given us the instructions. It's the manual for our life of how to live our life, how to place our trust in Jesus, how to enter in, and so many beautiful promises. So he's a light that shines in the dark. So all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. In other words, we're not going to be in that dark place of the world where we continue to sin. You know, we will still fall into temptations. We will still fall into old habits. But if our heart is wanting to walk righteously as Christ walked righteously, we're only righteous because of what he's done for us. But if our heart is in that place and we don't want to sin anymore, then he will help us overcome and he will not look at those sins. But it's when we're in willful sin and not really trusting the Lord, that is where we are in a dangerous place. But I love this. I will not judge those who hear me, but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. So if you're listening to him, even when you don't obey, the fact you're listening to him and you believe him and you want to trust in him, he will not judge you. And that's important. Now, that's not speaking about when we willfully sin and continue to sin, because in 1 John it says, you know, those who say they love God but don't obey him, or they say they hate their brother, there's no love in them, you know. Or if they're saying, I don't sin but continue sinning, then they're a liar and they're deceived. So we have to take this in context. It's not a getaway free card, you know, if you don't obey him. But what it's saying is, when you mess up, when you miss the mark, that's what sin is, he will forgive you as long as you repent and you confess your sin to him. He already knows it, but it's that beautiful repentance of saying, I'm sorry, and turning away. But all those who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. So those who reject what he's told them, they don't believe what Jesus is saying, and they go and live their life in their religious ways, for those such as the Pharisees, or living a life of sin and not acknowledging God at all, they'll be judged by the truth he has spoken. Because he's told them, I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father without me. So if they haven't believed that, they are going to face judgment because they didn't believe that paramount truth. Whereas those who receive his message, even if they don't obey, in other words, if you fall into sin, I have come to save them and not to judge them. I don't speak on my own authority. Here he brings it back to the Father. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. I mean, that's pretty specific. Not only is he saying, I only do what my Father does or what he tells me to say, he says how to say it. So he, you know, and I think that's the same for us. Jesus wants us to walk and speak in his ways. You know, the way he walked, we should walk. The way he lit up the world, was a light to the world, we should light up the world. in the way he speaks. He speaks with gentleness, but with firm truth. He speaks forthright. But he always walked in love. He never stopped to meet somebody's, he never not stopped to meet someone's need who genuinely came to him knowing he could help them. He had compassion. He walked in mercy. And so therefore we must imitate him as well. And I know his commands, so this is still Jesus speaking, I know that his commands, speaking of his Father, lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. So this is an indication also for us to be led by the Holy Spirit, because Jesus followed the Father in what he was to say and what he was not to say, what he was to do and what he was not to do. In the same way, we must follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Because if Jesus did this, relied on his union with the Father, we need to rely on that union with the Father, and the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will actually help us to achieve and overcome. Overcome sin, overcome temptation, and prompt us to say and not say the things that he prompts us to do in the things of the Spirit. You know, if he tells you to say something to someone, then you need to say it, just like Jesus did what the Father said, and how to say it. Don't rely on your own understanding. I guess that's the key. Don't go speaking to someone about the things of God or telling them or trying to correct them. Because when we do that, then we're being religious, just like the Pharisees. The Pharisees imposed expectations upon the people according to the law, according to what was written in the book, the Holy Scriptures. So we must not use our liberty in the Spirit, our flow in the Spirit, to condemn somebody else for not being in the Spirit. You know, that or for being in sin and not being in God, and they you know, that's not what the Holy Scriptures were for. It's not what the Word of God says to us. We are to listen to the Spirit, and with gentility, which is a fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. You know, let's go through the fruits again. We did that in another devotion. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Think about those fruits. Self-control. We don't lose it. We don't, we're not heavy with people. We don't tell them what they should and shouldn't do, because you know what? That's not our job. It's not our job. You know, It's God's business. Our role is to lead people to go to God and let him deal with the things that he wants to in their life. It's not our business. The only business we have is to share the good news, and that often the most powerful way to do that is to share what God's doing in our life. If we're not living the life of the fruits, proven by the fruits of the Spirit, if we're not walking in love, if we're not walking in peace, if we're not walking in joy, if we're not walking in gentleness, if we're not walking in kindness, if we're not walking in goodness, if we're not walking in faithfulness, which is faithful in the things that God has given us to do, and that can be literally serving our family at home, you know, and doing that well as unto God. And then if we're not walking in self-control, that's a big one. You know, and we had a message on Sunday, a beautiful Muslim guy who was powerfully converted to Jesus, and he's a great evangelist and has a whole, you know, ministry evangelizing. But he was saying that when you leave the Muslim faith and you become a Christian, people are after you to kill you. And he was once ministering in a Christian church, and a Muslim came in and wanted to attack him. But the way he dealt with that was a response that was calm. It was loving, representing Father God, who is calm and loving. Because when we react in a negative, fleshy way, how are we any different to anyone else? We can't proclaim to be walking in the Spirit if we are losing it all the time. Or are we judging others or telling them how they should live? That is not our business. It is not our business and it's not our role. We need to look at ourselves. You know, we've got enough to deal with in our own walk. And in our own walk, once again, I bring it back to the fruits of the Spirit. Check yourself in that. Check yourself if you're walking in the Spirit, in the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus walked in love. Jesus was full of peace. Even when he was in anguish in having to face the cross, he prayed to his Father and he walked in peace. Yes, he was in anguish. I mean, it's totally understandable. He walked in joy. He saw the cross and he counted the joy before him. That's what it says. The joy, he counted the joy that was before him because he knew that it was going to save people. Those who would receive what he did on the cross of Calvary would go to heaven and be able to fellowship with him and the Father. I mean, that's how much he loved. So that's love, joy, peace, patience. He's patient with us. Jesus was very patient, even with the woman caught in adultery, right? He could have been upset. He could be upset at us with all our sins. We're no better, but he's patient with us. So who are we not to be patient with another? Goodness. He walked in goodness. He was God. God is good. God is love. See, all the fruits of the Spirit, they're all the attributes of God, basically. Gentleness. He was gentle with the woman. He said, "Where are your condemners?" She said, "There are none." And he says, "Well, I don't condemn you either." He was gentle. Even though he was forthright, when he had a righteous anger, he was forthright, and he was forthright with the Pharisees for being religious. But he loved the people and he gave them every opportunity. Faithfulness. He was faithful. He was faithful to the point of death. And self-control. You know, there must have been so much that angered him. There must have been so much that grieved him. To think that people were spitting in his face and putting thorns on his head, a crown of thorns, and reviling him and spitting at him and mocking him and tearing him to pieces with the whip. But he had no guile in his mouth. Now that's self-control. And I know I'm not covering all of them, but you get my drift. The fruits of the Spirit are all the beautiful attributes of God. If we're truly walking in God, and none of us are perfectly walking in God, none of us. You know, we may be flowing in the Spirit, but we still can mess up. But don't use that as an excuse. And don't look at that as something, oh, well, I can forgive myself, but I'm going to correct everybody else, because that's religion. And I don't know why it's Jesus. We're looking over this passage and we see Jesus is summarizing his message. You know, if he's forgiving towards us and he, even when we don't obey, we've got to be careful that we're not judging others who aren't obeying, because we're just as guilty. Maybe not in the same area, but we're just as guilty. So we need to receive his message. That's what Jesus is saying. Receive the message, you know. And it's deeper than just believing him. It's trusting him, following him, and looking at our own walk and aiming to the out of that relationship. The more we press in, it's not about you know, just pressing in and it's all praise and hallelujah, which is very important, but it's the transformation of the heart to bring us more in line with the fruits of the Spirit. And I really feel that's an important message today. And that's what Jesus said all the way through the gospel. He wants us to believe him, trust him, and walk in the fruits of the Spirit. And that's why he sent his Holy Spirit. So we have that ability. But, you know, when we repent, when we truly repent, it's not a one-off repentance. We have to walk in that repentant life. So how have we got time to look outside of ourselves? And I know that, you know, early in the chapter we saw about, you know, we're not to judge and we're not to walk in unforgiveness and all of those things. They're very important to our walk as well. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's trust Jesus to work on us. And let's just focus on that and not what's out there, because it's a dangerous place to go out there. It's a religious thing to go out there as well. And I really feel to encourage everybody to really just check your own heart, because it's written, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it but God? So even if we're a born-again Christian, we can be deceived in areas of our life. We get deceived because the enemy wants to come against you, so you're not flowing in the Spirit of truth, and rather using it against others. And that's, you know, that's, wow, that's just something, you know, I'm sure I've been guilty of. And it's so easy, but I tell you what, when we don't do that, when we realize that we have no right, we have so much to work on ourselves, it brings us to a place of humility. You know, it's when we're prideful, just like the Pharisees were prideful. I mean, the first sin which caused Lucifer to fall was pride. And so he will use pride on us that we're all on our merry way, we're doing so well. But no, check yourself. Have a look. Have a look in your daily walk. Have a look. Are you walking in the fruits of the Spirit? You know, this is a challenge to me. It's a challenge to all of us. Am I walking in the fruits of the Spirit? And if you notice, you know, there's an area you're not, that's what our focus is. Ask God to help us. It's all about you and him, not about you and others. You know, and I really feel to say this quite strongly, because it's so easy. And I know in my early walk, I made this mistake. I was trying to get everybody to walk in line with God and his Spirit, but that wasn't my place. It's really not my place. No one forced me into a relationship with God. That had to come out of my own heart's desire. That had to come from God's goodness towards to even lead me to repentance. And we all are in different walks of life, and we all have a different relationship with the Lord. Some are slow plodders. Some go really fast. Some are slow and steady. But the thing is, it's God's business. So we need to trust him. And we need to be the light. We just simply need to be the example. Share your faith with people in gentleness, in goodness, in kindness. Share it, but live it more so, because that light is of far greater value than the words we can give, because we are imperfect vessels. But the more we just shine our light to others, they'll want to hear from you because of your example. If you're not being a good example, don't expect them to receive from you. That's a really, really important point. Unless we're walking in the light and we're walking in all those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, peace and self-control, then we're not going to be as powerful or have the same or a greater effect on people than we would if we were walking in those things. So praise the Lord. I think I'm going to end on that. And I really thank the Lord that He's given me boldness to bring forth something that I believe He wants to bring forward for all of us. You know, let's look at our own example. Let's look at our own mouth. It says, if a man can't bridle his tongue, let's go to that actually. It's in James, I believe. Sorry for the, I wasn't expecting to go there, but this is just one example. You know, the bridling of the tongue. And I think that's what entraps most of us. Okay, here we go. So it says in we're looking at James 3, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you can become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Ouch. Indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Now, isn't that powerful? Here he's saying we would be perfect in every other way if we could control our tongue. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can get a great forest on fire. A tiny spark. You know, we can forgive ourselves in the things we say, and I'll just, you know, apologize or not apologize and just move on, or put it, you know, shove it under the carpet. But if we don't face this, look what the scripture's saying, a tiny spark, an ugly word, an unkind word, or an expectation upon another spoken in harshness can set a whole forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. I mean, that is pretty strong words. Your tongue is a flame of fire and can set, and it is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body if you allow it. It can set your whole life on fire, because what we speak can be detrimental to our own life and the lives around us. We can be destructive to the lives around us, but it'll be destructive to your own life. And it is set on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. So think about that. That is a powerful, powerful scripture warning us about our tongue. So this is where the fruit of the Spirit must come in operation to tame that tongue. Only speak. There's another scripture in Ephesians 4:29, I think it is. I used to teach this to my children when they were young. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only what is edifying for the hearer. So whatever you're saying, make sure it's edifying that person, whether it's your wife, husband, children, employers, employees, friends, church people. If it's not edifying them, don't speak it. You know, that is really, really important. Because it says it can corrupt the entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. If your life's unraveling, if you're dissatisfied with your life, if you're unhappy with your children, if you're unhappy with your partner, if you're unhappy with friends or whatever, you know, make sure that you are not speaking all that stuff out of your mouth, because you are setting a fire upon them and upon your life. You know, we have to watch the words of our mouth, because here it says, you will be perfect in every way if you can control your tongue. So I think that's the most important thing we need to be focused on. If we're wanting to follow Jesus and walk in his spirit, then we need to watch the words of our mouth. And if it's rising up out of you and it's ugly talk or accusing talk, then it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there's something not right in the heart, and you need to bring that to the Lord. And I know myself, if I'm a little snappy, or I'm, you know, just not in a right place, I have to bring that to the Lord and say, what's going on? Because the problem's me. It's not the other person, it's me. Wow, I've really gone somewhere that I wasn't expecting. But anyway, that's the message for today. And we have finished John 12, and we've covered James 3, a little bit of James 3 about the dangers of our tongue. So let's let that be a challenge for us to really watch what's in our heart, and really let the God minister to us. Let God minister to those areas in our heart that aren't right, because it's a daily walk and we need to run that race till the end. You know, we need to let him perfect us. But here it says we will be perfect if we can control our tongue. So we need to deal with the issues that are going on within us that are creating us to speak that stuff. You know, because we have no right to speak any ugly stuff for a start, only what's edifying. And if you don't like something about someone, or, you know, whatever it is, because it's contrary to where you're at, we have to take that to the Lord. It's not our place to speak it out, because it's destructive. Only build people up. And that's a real word for all of us. You know, praise. If we praise God, we need to praise people. If you can't find anything to praise about people, then look a little harder. There's always something you can praise. And you might have to dig a little bit. Some people can be pretty ugly. But there's always something you can praise. Because remember, they were made in the image of God just as much as you. And if you only see ugliness, that's because they might be damaged. But we're still called to love them and not accuse them. All right. Well, there goes that message. And yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but praise God. God is good. Have a beautiful day today, and let that soak in for all of us. Let's all go to the throne room of grace and ask God to help us in these areas, and particularly in the area of self-control, especially in the area of the tongue. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord God, that this word that's come forth, that it will minister to us, Lord, and that we will not be accusers of the brethren, Father God, and we will not bring people down, whether they're believers or not believers. Father, we just pray that we become those people that walk in all the fruits of the Spirit. Let that be our goal, Lord God. Let it be our goal to walk in those things, so that we will be the light of the world, because they're your characteristics, Lord. And I pray you help them with it. That you help us with these fruits, Lord God, and that you will show us when we get it wrong, that you will correct us, and that it would bring about change. Let us be humble before you, Lord God, because you give grace to the humble and you lift us. You lift us up, Lord, but you resist the proud. You resist us, Lord, and then we won't grow at all. We won't change. So, Father, I thank you that you help us in this area, Lord God, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.